Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Hi, it's Angela here. And just before we start this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, I want to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat, which is coming up on November 16, 17 and 18. And I am just so excited to share all of this information with you. I've been planning this retreat for the last 3 years and it is finally going to happen. I have created something which is about taking you out of your business to work on your business, to work on yourself, to work on your health, your self-care. It's all about reducing the stress and reconnecting you back to why you went into business in the first place. Let's look at a different way of running business, and that's what the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat is all about. It's about fun, it's about learning, it's about connections. And if you want to know more about what we'll be doing, why not pop over to the website www.angelacouncil.com/entrepreneurs-playdate-retreat. I certainly hope you decide to join us there. Now, onto the episode. Bye. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we get together to share what it's like to run a business, raise a family, look after yourself and do it without all of the stress. My name is Angela Council and I'm so excited because this is our 50th episode. So 50 episodes of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise have now come out to you, and hopefully everyone who's been listening has been enjoying them. We've had a mix of interviews with some really exciting people, as well as me sharing some of my insights and maybe sometimes my ramblings on my view of the world and running a business and how we can reduce stress in our lives. My biggest aim is always to share some tips with women so that they can understand that it is possible to actually lower the stress levels. I truly believe when you understand what stress is, that you can actually take some simple changes to actually reduce stress. And when I'm talking stress, I'm primarily talking about hormones, so the cortisol levels, because I know how that's impacting everybody's health and also their relationships, their business. Every part of their life is actually impacted by the amount of stress that you have in your life. Now, I thought for this week's episode, I'd do something a little bit different because I'm always interviewing other people. But on this episode, I've actually had someone interview me. So Leonie Percy from Yoga Mamata, and also she has her own podcast called Magnetic Mamas. She's just released it. She has interviewed me. And she's spoken to me about a whole pile of different things. So hopefully you're going to enjoy this episode. You'll learn a little bit more about my story. And rather than me just talking about it, I thought it'd be great to have someone ask me the question so that I could answer them on, basically, they were asking on your behalf. So enjoy it, and I'll catch up with you at the end of the episode. Bye.
So I'd love to, share our beautiful story. We connected for the first time through the KPI network. KPI is a business program, how to become a key person of influence, and it's how we actually both published our books, which have gone out into the world and made such beautiful change. So, I'd love for you to give us some insight into your beautiful journey. I know you've just launched a entrepreneurial retreat for women, which is really exciting, and that's actually going to be at Billabong, where I've taught many retreats for mums. It's such a spectacular space, so that's really exciting. So, love to learn, how it all started for you and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so how far back do you want me to go?
You've got like 30 minutes,
Okay, I'll keep it short. So I started, like most people in the corporate world, I started working in the Commonwealth Bank, and I worked there for 17 years, but in 17 years I actually went up the ranks fairly quickly, and I got to a stage whereby there was nowhere else for me to go in the bank. I was the youngest female
at the managerial level that I was at, there was no more jobs because they were all full of men who weren't going to go until they retired. So I had to do something different. So I went out and I was a consultant, and I worked for many of the other banks, some telecommunications companies, highly paid. You know, from the outside, everything looked absolutely fantastic until one day I decided at the age of 38 that I wanted to have children. It's something that had never been on my radar before. I didn't think I was ever going to have children. But just all of a sudden, this overwhelming urge came for me to be a mum. And so just I thought everything, like everything else in my life, it'd be pretty easy because I'd never really had trouble with anything that I'd done in my life. It was all pretty cruisy. But it wasn't quite that easy to fall pregnant. It took me about 12 months to fall pregnant. And then when I did fall pregnant, at 12 weeks, I miscarried. And I realised at that stage that the lifestyle I was leading, the amount of stress that I was under, managing these large projects and all of this stuff was all impacting my health. And it was a really big time for me to kind of go, well, what am I going to do? And I had heard about naturopathy. I didn't know a lot about it. I'd done a couple of nighttime courses on aromatherapy and nutrition and herbs. And I'd said to my husband, because my contract was just about up, and I said, you know, I'm not going to renew this time. I'm actually just going to take a few months off just to kind of, you know, just do nothing and just to do something completely different. And he was fine with that because he knew that I actually was grieving a lot after I lost the baby. And then, but in the back of my mind, even though I told him 3 months, I was thinking six.
That's great. I love that.
So I went off and I went to Nature Care at St. Leonard's and started to train to be a naturopath. And 5 years later and 2 children later, I qualified. I fell pregnant 1 month after leaving full-time employment, and that child is now 14 and nearly a foot taller than me. And then I went on, became a naturopath, ran my own clinic, had several businesses, but the patterns of being stressed continued. And I had a large multimodality clinic which had 8 practitioners working in it, a yoga and Pilates studio, workshop room, and my own practice, which actually had myself, another naturopath, and nutritionist working in it. It was a very, very successful business. It was making lots of money. Everything looked great. Once again, everything looked great on the outside, but behind the scenes, I was kind of falling apart. I felt guilty because my children were young and I was spending so much time in my business. I was just kept working at my business, and if I was with my kids, I would feel guilty because I wasn't in the business and I wasn't doing what I needed to do for my clients. So it was this almighty juggle. And yeah. I was teaching mums about managing stress, but I wasn't actually looking after myself. I wasn't managing stress. I was drinking wine every night to wind down. My favourite food was chocolate brownies. And I knew that that wasn't good for me, but I still did it anyway. And then finally, my lease came up on those premises and I just went, you know, I can't do this anymore. There's nothing left. I had nothing left in me. And so I went to smaller premises, which was just me and a nutritionist. But I'd fallen out of love with my business. And as I fell out of love with my business and I was just getting really tired and run down and demotivated, my business really started to struggle. And I thought, well, all I need to do is work harder. I've done this before, just hard work, just keep working, just keep doing it, keep doing it. You know what to do, just keep doing it. But it wasn't working this time around. And I was just kind of, you know, if clients rang up and cancelled, I was almost, you know, having a party because I got the day off. And that's what it was like. Whilst I love working with my clients, I just wasn't in love with what I was doing. And so I finally actually closed that business, and that was hard because I kept thinking, well, people would think I failed. I was a failure if I closed my business down. And that was at the time that I actually started doing KPI. And I went, okay, so I've just signed up for this massive, great, big program. I'm not going to be earning any money because I'm going to close this business. What am I going to do now? I went, holy. And yeah. So
the turning point.
That's yeah. Right.
And I went, okay. It's the breakdown before the breakthrough.
That's right. And I kind of went, okay, well, I'm going to write a book. And I still wasn't sure what I was going to write a book on, but I just thought I'd write a book based on what I knew about running a business and what I'd been teaching my clients. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. I can actually start a whole business around that. And so I did that, wrote my book, got it out there, everyone loved it, went to number one on Amazon, and I'm still going, what's going on? It's just not working. And then Christmas before last, I was just sitting in a chair, and I just burst into tears, and I cried for about 3 days. I almost wanted to call Christmas off. And I couldn't work out what was going on. I couldn't get out of bed. I was crying. And then I realised, I'm a naturopath, but I was a bit slow. I was suffering from burnout. I knew burnout, but I had burnout. And I didn't really want to admit it because, hey, I knew how to deal with that. You know, just take the herbs and all that. And I was like, nah. And the turning point for me at that stage was I asked a question on my Facebook page. And I can't even tell you what the question was. But someone came back to me and they said, you know, I've read a book that's got the answer in this. Maybe you should read it. And the book's called Secret Mum's Business. And I went, oh. And I went, yeah, maybe I should actually start to follow what I've written, because I realised that everything I'd written down, I was teaching other people and I wasn't doing it. And when I kind of went, you know, if I actually just start doing some of this stuff that I'm telling other people to do, might make a difference. And it did.
Wow.
It was just a really big, you know, wake up call. At least I know that what I wrote works, and I also know that it's possible to run a business without all of the stress. It doesn't mean that you don't take action, but you just don't get stressed about it. And when you're not being stressed, you can think clearer. You can attract things to you. So I've moved very much from my masculine energy into my feminine energy.
Oh, lovely.
And just being open and just knowing that there's a reason why I do what I do, and I just trust. And you'll get this, because if I said this on some other podcast, they think I'm right off the tree. I just trust that the universe is going to give me the next step. And that's what I do. And when I'm not sure what I'm going to do next, I now meditate. I just basically sit in meditation and sit in silence and wait for the answer. And if the answer's not there, well, I know there's nothing I need to do right now. And when the time's right, I'll get the answer.
I love it. There's just so much goodness. And thank you for sharing so honestly and openly, because I actually see this all the time. And I've experienced this in my own journey, where I'm out there teaching mindfulness and stress management, and I'm not taking time to be still. And it's almost like you feel guilty around the fact that you're not practicing what you're preaching. Mm. And then that kind of, you know, you get yourself into like that sort of rabbit hole of, you know, you feel, yeah, you're kind of faking it till you make it. And it's funny, I actually go back and I read Mother Om sometimes as well to get the guidance that I need around motherhood, which is, you know, ironic that I did write this beautiful book, but I still struggle daily like most mums do. You know, that parenting is just ever, it's always changing. It's just like business, really.
It is. And you forget what you've written.
Yeah, you do. And being in the yoga and that industry of always serving, I see yoga teachers get burnout all the time because they are just so selfless. Mm. And being selfless obviously doesn't help you in any way. You know, you need to fill up your own cup first. And that's something I know you're so passionate about teaching mums now, is really how to manage stress. Because, yes, you can have a business, you can manage it with a young family, but it can be really stressful. And so I'd love to go into stress management and get some really great advice from you around what you recommend women, and specifically mothers, do to stay in flow and try to be less stressed.
There are some really simple things that you can do, and most people don't realize. They think that, you know, they need a massage, and look, that's great, but we don't always have the time or the money to have a massage. But it's some of the really simple things that you can do. Yeah, and even, I mean, I'm lucky my kids are a little bit older, so I actually have a bit of space these days. But when you've got young kids that are around all the time, simple things like a body boost, whereby when you jump out of the shower, you just massage yourself with a little bit of sweet almond oil with a couple of drops of really nice essential oil. And that is actually a self-massage. So when you're being touched, that actually drops your cortisol level. So it actually drops your stress. And it only needs to take 2 minutes. And if you don't want to do it, you know, if you still don't think you've got enough time to actually do that, I mean, it doesn't take long. But when you're in the shower, just putting a face washer on the floor with a couple of drops of essential oils that allows the oils to come up in the steam, once again, it's just something that's just for you, just a little bit of time that it allows you just to lower down those stress levels, and you don't notice it, but it does make a difference. And that's one of the simple things that I talk about a lot. And the other is breathing, and you'll get this.
Yeah.
When people are stressed, they breathe in the top of their lungs. They breathe the upper half of their lungs and into their shoulders, and it's why their shoulders and necks are always so tight. And all it takes is two or three really deep breaths down to the bottom of the lungs, just yoga breaths, you know, breathing in and a really nice slow breath out. And doing that, you know, two or three times every hour, once again, that switches off that stress response. And it's so simple to do, but we forget.
Yeah, I love that, because actually you can do those two beautiful practices in one go. You can have your beautiful shower, and I call it a shower of presence. I think it's really beautiful to be in the shower. Mindfulness is very much about the senses, so you can engage the sense of the beautiful warm water tumbling over you. You can practice gratitude while you're in the shower, just closing your eyes and being really present. And then I love this concept of putting oil. I love essential oil. I'm always burning oil and using lavender oil with the kids, and I just feel like there's so much magic in that essence of aroma. But you can, like you say, just pop a little bit on a flannel and breathe in that gorgeous aroma while you're having your shower. So you're doing this gorgeous mindfulness practice and breathe.
That's right. All at the same time. And the other thing you can do, which you can do in the shower as well, is posture. Now, posture plays a really big role. There's actually research around this, and I was really excited to find this research, because this is something I've been talking about, but now they've actually done research. Is because when we're in a stress situation, once again, we tend to pull our shoulders forward, hunch over, and then we're sitting at computers hunched over, or we're looking at our phones. Now that tells the primitive part of our brain that we're actually being defensive, and that we're trying to push away an attacker. So that's actually a stress response. So that changes a lot of things in our body, and we're doing it all the time. But if we stand up and actually open our chest up and kind of put your hands on your hips, or just put your hands in the air with your shoulders back, your chest up, a really nice proud stance, research has shown that when you stand like that, your cortisol levels drop by 20%. But when you're hunched over and all protective, your cortisol levels go up by 15%. So just standing up, taking a nice deep breath, and having those essential oils, three things that you can do all at the same time, they're really simple things to do. And you can just bring those cortisol levels, which are your stress hormones, you just bring them down. And, you know, you'll find that when if you stand up nice and straight, you just feel different. You can't feel sad and lonely and everything when you're standing up straight. It's just so, you just can't. It just changes the way your physiology and your hormones work. So it's amazing.
Beautiful. And I've done that. Yeah, if I have to stand up and do a workshop or a presentation, I know you also speak at great events. It's just to really stand, and I often take my shoes off to feel grounded just before I go on stage or wherever it might be. But I think, you know, you're stepping into your power.
That's
right. You're physically stepping into that self-awareness, but you're also reconnecting back to self in that moment as well. And it's all about making these choices conscious, so that over time, once you consciously start to practice something, it then becomes a habit, which means it then becomes subconscious. So I'm actually, you know, here now, and I'm quite conscious of how I sit. I sit with a straight back, and I used to cross my legs all the time, but that's not good for you.
No.
So it's like now I have to, you know, both feet on the floor, feeling that connection. And I also really see it with, like, my son very rarely gets the iPad, but when he does, I'm like, sit up straight or you're not having it, because he's fully like hunched over.
I know. I see my son, and because my son's now over 6 foot tall, and he's there hunched over all the time, and I'm going, you've got to sit up straight. If you're going to play with that phone, you've got to sit up straight. And he crawls back again. I'm like, oh, sit up. You know, put the phone up where you can see it. And if you can't see it, put your glasses on. Because it really worries me what's happening with younger children, because particularly now as they're going to the teens, they've all got their phones. They're doing it all the time. And look, you just can't take their phones off them. I've tried. You know, it just doesn't work. But it does worry me in how that's going to be impacting them, because that's actually telling the subconscious mind that there's a danger, there's a threat. So it's constantly in this stress situation. And when the body's in stress, it actually changes the way it works. It increases the heart rate. It lowers the immune system. It lowers digestion. It lowers reproduction. It puts a whole pile of blood sugar into the blood. It's like, it does so many different things to the body when the brain thinks that there's a threat. And these kids and well, even adults are walking around in a posture which says, I'm about to be attacked. So the body is doing its damnedest to try and run away, but no one's running. And yeah, it's I think it's going to really cause some real issues as we go forward, all this technology.
I am so a big believer of this. And, you know, there's all this research now saying that sitting is the new smoking.
Yes.
You know, when we're sitting down in front of screens for 8 hours a day, it's really, really detrimental for our health, and that we need to move. We're made to move.
That's
and as
right.
someone who's passionate about yoga and movement, you know, it doesn't take long to just go and have a break, eat some fruit, you know, go out in the sunshine for 10 minutes. Just to kind of reset that, because there are many ways to get rid of stress, but I think we are chronically stressed and we don't realize how stressed we are until our body becomes physically unwell, and then it's a bit too late. You know, like you've already got the illness.
It's impacting your business. It's impacting your family because you're not being the best you can. You know, you're in pain or you're on medications or you've got all these conditions. And once you're in the medical system, it's really hard to get out because they're not interested really in getting you too well. Sometimes they just kind of keep you going. And a lot of the stuff you can actually change yourself just by looking at the food you're eating. Because if you're not eating, because people think we need to eat food, but actually what we need is nutrition. And not all food's got nutrition in it, but nutrition comes packaged in food. So if you're just filling yourself up on food which has got no nutrients, the body goes into a stress situation because it thinks it's starving. So it holds on to fat. And, you know, you see women who are trying to lose weight, but they're just storing more fat. And if you've got fat around your tummy, generally it's a sign of too much stress. And you have to do things differently to actually get that to shift. And, you know, and eating all these processed diet foods and all that, if it's not giving you the nutrients you're required, well then, it's not going to lose the weight in the long term. Sometimes it does in the short term, but not in the long term. And that's the same with exercise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for mums.
It is. And exercise is the same.
Yeah, we've all got the extra couple of kilos or 5 kilos or however many kilos from having kids. And,
more of them,
you know, it is really hard. Yeah, it's like I totally agree. It's hard to definitely shift some of the weight that you have from having a child. And I do like to cultivate love towards my, you know, mummy tummy, as I like to describe it, you know, to have cultivated life with two beautiful babies. I'm very grateful for that. But obviously when you are feeling stressed and when you're feeling tired, this lack of energy and vitality has such a knock-on effect.
That's
in the
right.
way you show up in the world, and the way you interact with your children, and the way, you know, really, you're really blocking this energy because you can't then attract what you want in life because you're feeling so lethargic. And I know this. My daughter Luna didn't sleep for about 16 months, and I really struggled with that, trying to manage everything on such little sleep. I mean, sleep's such a huge, profound, life-changing, you know, get your 8 hours of sleep a day and drink 2 litres of water a day and...
You know, the lucky thing is, though, when you do have a young child, hormones actually protect you. So it is expected that new mums don't get a lot of sleep in the first 12 months, and you actually have hormones which actually buffer against that stress response. So if your hormones are in balance and if you've been breastfeeding, ideally if you've given birth naturally, then the hormones actually protect you for about 12 months, in which time then the baby starts to sleep. So there is actually, the body's amazing because it knows this. The body knows that, you know, because our bodies have not really changed much since we were cavemen. And even though now we have, you know, all modern conveniences, women didn't have all that before, and nature knows that there's times when women need to be able to sleep and other times when they don't. And it actually is able to compensate if we're looking after all of the other areas. So long as we're not creating more stress in our life and we're doing the simple things to bring our stress down, then it's not a big issue. I mean, yes, you're tired, but from a health point of view, the body does protect you. And that's why it's important to have these other
Yeah, I actually started taking a supplement called Juice Plus when Luna was really little, and that's really helped me. Yeah. It's literally just fruit and veg, and my whole family takes it, and it really has worked for me in those times. If I'm feeling a little unwell, I just take a bit more. And, yeah. You know, there are, you know, you can go out there, and there are good products that will, I guess, support your diet. But really being mindful of what you're eating is really, really important. And what are your thoughts around, I guess, you know, we want lots of fruit and veg in our diet, but what are your thoughts around gluten and dairy and, I guess, no sugar? Because it's really hard. Like, we've done lots of little changes, so we don't eat gluten, and now we're sort of trying to cut down on dairy. We're good with our sugar, but it just gets overwhelming with children, you know? It's like...
It does, totally, and I totally get you, because I've had big blow-ups with my son in particular around gluten, because we don't do gluten at home. Well, we do a little bit of gluten, and it's actually, we don't do wheat. So there is gluten in other grains, and I will use other grains. So I use spelt or I use korashan, which yeah. does have a gluten in it, but it's not as glutenized as wheat does. So, and the issue with wheat is not really the wheat. It's the way that we've actually, as humans, changed the wheat plant. Okay, wheat used to be a really tall plant. Now it's a short plant. It's a hybridized plant, so it's high yield, so it gets lots and lots of grain off it, and it grows really quickly. And it's the changing of that that's caused an issue, because we now have more gluten in that wheat than in the ancient wheat. So, and you can still get some of the ancient wheats. The other issue with wheat is the pesticides that they're spraying on it, which is also yeah. causing a problem with the gluten, because we can't, as humans, break gluten down in our body. The enzyme to break down the gluten is actually within the plant, but we kill off that enzyme in our processing, so that by the time you get the wheat into your diet, it has no enzyme left. So the human body doesn't actually have the enzyme required to break that down, which is why most people have issues with it. And small amounts are not a problem, but we find when you're eating a diet that's got processed foods in it, wheat is used in everything. Wheat's used in things that you don't know. It's in ice cream, it's in chocolate, it's in so many different things. Normally, if you see the words glucose syrup, it's derived from wheat. And that's the issue, is people don't realise how much wheat they're eating.
Yeah, well, my partner just can't tolerate it at all. So we don't, you know, we've slowly kind of weaned ourselves. I do buy spelt bread.
Yep.
Because my little boy, you know, has a sandwich.
My kids eat sandwiches all the time, but I just buy korashan bread. It is more expensive, but I'm prepared, because it looked like a white bread. It actually looks like white bread. And that's all my kids eat if they're at home. If they go out and they have wheat bread out, that's their choice now. They're old enough to make their choice. They will, and generally, particularly my son, he will have a bellyache afterwards, and he knows that.
Yeah.
So it's his choice. He chooses if he's going to have pizza. If he wants to have pizza, then that's fine, but he knows that he'll get a bellyache afterwards.
Yeah, it's funny. I have that conversation with my son. We're going to a party, and I'm like, so, you know, if you eat lots of cake, you know, you're going to have this big sugar, because we don't give him much sugar at all. And, of course, it's like we go there, he eats the cake, he has a big meltdown. It's like this. It's like it happens every time, but, like, it's really hard, I guess, to kind of monitor it.
It gets to a stage where they do actually start to self-regulate a little bit. Sugar's really hard because it's so addictive, and my daughter's addicted to sugar. And you give her sugar and she says she doesn't go crazy. She does. But it's not necessarily her behavior. The thing is, she actually can't turn sugar down. She will steal chocolates because she wants the sugar. And it's it's a big issue. But it's like, and sugar's worse than all of them, because it is an addiction. And it's really hard. You can't just say, just have a little bit and you'll be okay. Really, if someone's addicted to sugar, they can't have a little bit. They can't have any. And I have to even be careful with the amount of fruit that she eats, because if I took all like processed sugar off her, she would eat 6 pieces of fruit a day to get her sugar hit. And I actually have to control that, because it's still sugar. And whilst it's fruit sugar and it's got the fiber and everything, it slows all the processing down, and normally no issue with, you know, that. It's the amount that she eats, and she's not eating it for the goodness, she's eating it for the sugar.
Yeah, I think with kids do eat a lot of fruit, and I've had to be mindful that really they only should have about 2 pieces a day, and they're making smoothies and, I guess, putting it on yogurt and all these other things. And, yeah, I think baby steps is something that has helped me a lot in changing diet over time. You know, you can't do something really, really quickly. It's very difficult. Like, my partner's very disciplined. He'll go and do, like, he's doing the smart cleanse right now. He'll just go and for 14 days he'll be so good and disciplined with his diet. I just can't do that. I can't go either. Yeah, you know, I still have my cup of coffee and I love dark chocolate. I'll still have some dark chocolate. Oh, exactly, you know, having a little bit. There's just such great information, because I really believe all of these mindful choices have a massive effect on how you feel. And this has a big impact on how you are able to have a joyful life, because when you don't have the energy, you definitely struggle and everything gets foggy and everything gets hard. And what's happening is you're manifesting more drama into your life because you're telling yourself, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I need a break, it's too hard. So I guess you've got to, you know, it's like baby steps around changing, making good decisions that serve you well in your business, in your family, making, you know, good healthy food choices. And maybe it's just like, I'm now at the supermarket, you know, each week I'm kind of buying something new to kind of add into our diet. Like, for example, we're now just drinking coconut milk. We're trying to get off dairy, as in milk. And yeah, my kids are okay with it. They're really happy. And it's not actually more expensive to get coconut milk. And so it's just that mindset of slowly making changes. So I love all of that advice. That's wonderful. So I'd like to tap in a little bit around, you've had some real success in business, and, you know, how do you manage, I guess, running your business? You know, are there things that you do daily that allow you to live in flow and allow you to magnetize this energy that you certainly have? I mean, you've published books and you've got all these amazing programs online. Like, how do you stay living your truth every day?
It's tough sometimes. But what I do, and I try to make sure that I do it every single day, is, well, I get up at about 5:15 in the morning to walk the dog, because someone needs to, and apparently I'm the only one in the family that can do that. So I walk the dog early in the morning. I come home, then it's time to get the kids up. My son gets himself off to school. I just need to make sure I get him out of bed in time. I take my daughter to the bus stop. Once she's on the bus, I'm lucky where I live, because I live near the beach. I drive to the beach, and between 8:00 and 9:00, that is my time, and I will sit at the beach. And even if, like this morning, it was raining, I'll sit in the car and I meditate, and I just sit there and I watch the waves. Sometimes I'll journal, depends on if I feel I need to. I don't always, just whatever. I generally meditate and I just quiet my mind. I turn my mind off for about 20-30 minutes, and then I just watch the waves. And then it's about 9:00 and I go, okay, fine, time to go home. I go home and I start my day. But without doing that, and there's some days when I can't do that because for some reason I've got an early morning appointment or something like that, I can't get anything done. It's really hard for me to get into work. I get very, very distracted. But once I've done that in the morning, if there's anything in my head, I just allow it to go, and then I can come home and I go, yeah, okay, fine, I've got to do this, 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 and this. Days that I have clients, I throw me out a little bit because I don't get anything else done, but I try to put all my clients in the one day so I can just go from call to call to call. Other than that, I have a list of things and go, okay, this is what I need to get done today. It'll get done until it's time to pick my daughter up. And that's kind of my main stuff now, but I never used to meditate. I used to think I couldn't meditate. My mind would never, ever shut up. It just went on and on and on. So I journaled for a long time. Once I got rid of everything out of my head, then meditation came a lot easier. And now I just do it.
I love it. I mean, meditation, there's a whole myth around meditation, and we could, you know, create another whole podcast on this. But meditation doesn't stop the mind from thinking. No. The mind is a tool. It's just about observing, acknowledging, not being attached to it, having no judgment. So I think that, you know, people have this perception that, you know, I can't meditate because I can't turn my mind off. Well, you're not ever going to do that.
No, that's
but what
right.
you can do is just find that sense of peace and stillness. And there's a real theme of all the beautiful mamas I'm interviewing that talk about really important time management, really important taking that time out, that self-care, that stillness, and that's where the clarity comes in. So I'm really loving all this juicy content. So I'd love to wrap up with a couple of fun questions, and I have to confess, I was on your podcast quite a while ago now, and you asked me this question and it just stuck in my mind, and I ask all of my clients that I'm mentoring. So Angela, what did you want to do as a child?
I wanted to be, actually it's really funny, I wanted to be a ballet dancer and a mum.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love that. That's gorgeous.
I didn't make it as a ballet dancer. I've got bad hips, but I made it as a mum.
And you probably hips are worse now that you've got kids.
That's right.
I love it. And yeah, I really wanted to be a mum too. I actually, from a little girl, like even when I was a really little girl and I'd play with my Cindy house that my dad made us with me and my sister, I really had that yearning to be a mother from an early age. I love that. I mean, you know what? You can still go and do ballet. Did your daughter do ballet?
She does now.
Yeah.
She does ballet and gymnastics, yes, and she's very good at it.
Yeah, so there you go. You're kind of, she's doing what you wanted to do in a really beautiful way. I love that. I think it's about working smarter. You know, we put this pressure on ourselves to work harder because we feel we need to strive to keep being the best we can be. But it's really not about that. It's about working smarter.
And sometimes when you actually just go, okay, this is what I want to get done today, and just accept it as it is. If it doesn't get done, it didn't get done. That's all there is to it. There's no point stressing about it. You can't change it. And because I think we put stress on ourselves because we haven't achieved something, or we put stress on ourselves because we think something's going to happen in the future. We have no idea what's going to happen in the future, and the past is gone and we can't change it. So if we just stay right here now, what is what is.
And absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I've just loved watching your journey as well. And like, we met a few years ago, and just you got the entrepreneur's play date that you do every month, and you just keep coming up with the most phenomenal offerings, and you have this element of fun and this wealth of knowledge and information. And I just think, yeah, you're so magnetic, Angela. It's just extraordinary, really. And
people would say that I can't make up my mind about what I want to do.
Yeah.
One of the fun things about being in business, you can change your mind anytime you like.
Yeah, you just keep reinventing yourself. You know, right. we're all Madonnas in the making.
That's right.
But thank you so much for sharing. And I love your website. I know you've spent some time, rebranding that. And yep. It's just the photos on there and the imagery. It's just beautiful. It really, really is such a reflection of who you are. And I'd love to know, apart from your amazing book, and I will add links in the show notes, what is there anything that you're reading right now that you're finding really inspiring?
What am I reading right now? Actually, I started reading Adam's Houlihan's book on LinkedIn last night. Not overly inspiring, but it's good.
Yeah.
And the other book I'm reading at the moment is Naomi Simpson's Ready to Soar. I'm in the middle of reading that as well. There's actually a lot of good stuff in there, which I'm probably going to bring some of that out at the retreat, because I'm getting a few really good juicy bits out of that.
Yeah, I love that. I really like her work. I think she's really cool. She's a really cool entrepreneur. That's great. But look, thank you. I honestly could chat to you all day.
Hi, it's Angela here again, and I certainly hope you enjoyed that episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. Before I go, I just wanted to remind you about the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat that's coming up on November 16th to 18th. This is 2.5 days of working on your business, working on you, working on every part of your health, your business and your mindset. It's time to just take a bit of time out, relax, have a little bit of fun, get rid of the stress. I've chosen a fantastic retreat center. You can do yoga, meditation, whatever you want. There's lots of free time, as well as spending some time planning what you want to create in 2017. So if you want to find out a little bit more about what we're doing, or you want to book in to join us, bring a friend along, visit www.angelacouncil.com/entrepreneurs-playdate-retreat. So I hope to see you soon. Bye.